Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Believers, we are here for Ultima Lucha Quattro Part 2, the season finale of Season 4 of Lucha Underground. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I tried to pick a song that was fitting for this, but this is like really slow, and I didn't realize how slow it is, but it's The Doors, so it makes sense.
Oh, there you go.
It would be slow. I'm your host, or one of your hosts. My name is James Frank. I'm here for the Lucha Underground After Show, Season 4, the season finale. Ty Matthews is with us via Skype, because he's not here. In studio, we have Emily.
Hi, I'm Emily Pratt. I write for UpRocks.com about wrestling.
Woo! Ty, hit us with the Skype.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so not used to being on this side of things.
Isn't it weird?
It's been a very hectic day, a day full of travel. I'm in Virginia right now, but I'm glad I was able to Skype in and watch the episode because,
yes.
Oh my God, so much happened.
So much happened. Let's get started. We start with a video that has Mundo and Taya talking about what's going to happen after he defeats Matanza with this gauntlet he has, and if he doesn't defeat him, he will be sacrificed. What were your thoughts on this little vignette we got, Ty? Or Emily?
I like that the gauntlet sort of causes like Raiden eyes, like the Mortal Kombat
yes.
Raiden eyes. But you knew as soon as Ty grabbed Rosa after her match with Ricky that things were gonna go south.
Oh yeah.
You know, that thing is cursed as all hell.
Why would you touch so that?
Yeah, exactly. If for nothing else, just because it's filthy.
Oh, yeah. Disgusting. Any thoughts on this little segment?
Yeah, I can't believe that Taya would pick up, like, a clearly haunted doll. Like, I don't know why anyone would do that in 2K18. Just pick up a doll like that. But, I don't know. Everything with Johnny and the gauntlet, I think, it fits him really well to have, like, a power gauntlet, I think.
This was the start of all the great Foley noises in this episode, because at one point, Johnny does little groove when he puts the gauntlet on, and there's some great Foley sound for that. And then, yeah, Taya picks up Rosa, stares in the eyes as it's talking to her, and you could see it starting to possess her. And I believe Rosa says, "You'll be a great host." Like,
that's what, okay,
to host
that's what I thought she
her
said.
Spirit. Very Chucky-esque.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? Definitely.
And then, like, I love that sort of, like, that early 2000s horror trope where it's just, like, Taya just, like,
yeah.
shaking her head
yeah.
really fast.
Yeah.
Like, they used to, like, every horror movie from, like, 2001.
Yeah, where it just, like, quick glitch, and then it'd freeze, and then it'd quick glitch
yeah.
again, and then, like, super tight close-up. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah. I like that it was, like, not even – nothing with the camera was happening. It was very clearly just Taya, like,
shaking her head
really hard.
You think her neck hurt
man.
After that? They're
that
like, no, do it
wrestling.
More. Your braids are going crazy. This is a great visual.
So many more tapes.
Possession visual. Thank you. And then we go into our first match with Dragon Azteca versus, I would say, Phoenix Dark, or as Matt Stryker referred to him, as the Blackbird Phoenix. The Blackbird of
yeah.
War Phoenix, which I thought was a kind of cool moniker.
I dig that.
What did you think of this match?
I love when they do 2 out of 3 falls matches in the temple, because it doesn't really seem like much of a stipulation on paper, but this match especially, it was like, I think the best 2 out of 3 falls matches are matches where each fall is sort of like a different type of match, you know,
mm-hmm.
it has a totally different feel or a different tone, you know,
or someone comes out and just gives it a different stipulation.
Yeah, or there's also that. I forgot about that.
I noticed that this match started out hot with a lot of chops and kicks which is what I expected. Phoenix hits his Blackbird driver, or what used to be known as like the fire driver, really early to get the first win. And Matt Stryker kept saying, Phoenix has never lost in Ultima Lucha. Phoenix has never lost in Ultima Lucha, which makes me think Phoenix is going to lose. And then he loses the second fall, but Matt Stryker still says he hasn't lost, even though he lost one pinfall, which I thought was weird.
Well, I get it in that, like, in a 2 out of 3 falls match, you can only lose the match itself, even if you drop one of the falls. But I like that they've had enough Ultima Luchas that they can start building sort of streaks like this.
Definitely. We get a rolling Shote, which Phoenix has been hitting a lot of those, and those seem to change the dynamic of a match instantly as soon as he hits one of those.
Palm strikes.
Love it. Azteca gets his first win with the DDTJ on the floor, I believe. And then from there, we're tied 1-1.
He gets his fall with the DDTJ in the ring and then hits Phoenix outside later.
Oh, with another one. And then as we end the second fall, we get Antonio Cueto, who comes out and decides that this next match is going to be Falls Count Anywhere. What did you think of that?
Right.
I really only liked the third fall. Like, the first two, I was kind of like, oh, sure, these are pretty fast. And it seemed like, I don't know, that's the thing that happens a lot in 2 out of 3 falls, where it's just like, oh, we got to get to the third fall. And I was like, okay, the third one.
Yeah, moves that normally wouldn't finish you in a single match beat you really quick in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Exactly. Yeah, or they're hit a lot earlier than they would be otherwise.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was really much of a Falls Count Anywhere match because they wrestled a little bit on the outside. They didn't go up into the stands. They didn't go anywhere. It was really more of like a hardcore match where it was like, hey, use the tables, use the chairs.
There was one moment when Phoenix hit a bridging German suplex
on the outside. Holy cow. Brutal.
You never see bridging moves on the outside. It was such a weird visual.
That was right before the DDTJ on the floor. There was another move where Azteca Irish whips Phoenix into the pole and then slides out and kicks him with an enziguri in the head. I really liked that combo. I hadn't seen anyone do that. Something that probably wasn't supposed to happen, but tends to happen, and made me think of Botchamania instantly with the I am the table spot where Phoenix goes for a senton off the top to the outside and the table doesn't break.
You always feel so bad when that happens.
Have you experienced moments like that in your wrestling career?
Maybe once or twice. I don't have too much experience with tables.
With tables or with tables not breaking?
With either, really. Okay. The few times that I have, they've broken fine, but I can only imagine, like, not only how frustrating, but also how painful that must be when that happens.
Stryker even says, usually when the table breaks, it gives, like way, and it helps break your fall, but that's just like a thud.
Yeah. You know? So, Emily, what you were mentioning before about the first couple falls being too fast, once it got to the third fall, did it start kind of picking up for you?
Yeah, then I thought it felt more like Ultima Lucha appropriate and more like it felt a lot more epic, even though, yeah, it wasn't really Super Falls Count Anywhere, but it was like, okay, if this they could have been fighting like this the whole time, really, but they just, you know, it was all good, but that was just
I think that's a great point. I feel like the first two falls, they were good, but I don't think it's anything that we wouldn't have seen elsewhere in the season.
Yeah, it was like regular Lucha Underground.
Exactly. So I think you're right on with kind of that third fall being more in line with what Ultima Lucha should be or has usually felt like.
Especially with Melissa hopping on the ring apron and trying to get involved, kind of like distracting to the match.
Right.
Which leads Phoenix to like nail him in the head with the chair. Azteca goes down. Phoenix hits another one of these Blackbird drivers and then gets the win. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's over. Melissa's torn, doesn't know what to do. Phoenix leaves. Azteca is done.
Melissa leaves, which opens it up for our brand new guest announcer.
Let's get to that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this, Emily?
This is maybe too, like, media, but, like, I saw her work at the WOW Women of Wrestling tapings, and they talked about, like, oh, we saw her at Lucha Underground, and that's why she got hired. to be the WoW ring announcer.
Oh, for, so like, she's the ring announcer at WoW.
Yeah.
Okay.
She, like, replaced series creator David McClane in that portion of his job. Because he was at this Lucha Underground taping and just saw her and was like, we're going to hire her, according to what they're saying. Yeah. But, like, I saw her in real life for the first time, and, like, she looks so much like her dad, especially in person, that it was just, like, real.
You felt the Latino heat?
Yeah, well, I'm like, Eddie Guerrero was, like, my favorite wrestler as a kid, and definitely, like, the reason I'm involved in wrestling at all now is because even when it was bad, like, those memories were very, like, emotionally resonant for me. So I, like, got weirdly emotional during segment when they were doing the Eddie chant. It was kind of dumb. I felt like it would have been more fun live for the audience, but
sure.
I appreciated it. I thought it was fun.
I love that she's there. I think it makes total sense. I don't know why you would wait till the season finale of season 4 to break her out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That drove me nuts. This honestly, in the whole episode, this whole segment with her and Famous B was probably my favorite in the entire dude. And Famous B is definitely my MVP of this season. Like the jackets, any segment he was in, he stole for sure. I don't know why she is dressed like Raven. Sort of
this new like catchphrase for himself.
What was that?
The fact that he has sort of built this new catchphrase for himself. That's gotten over so much with the temple with just git.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Not even the get fame, but just the git.
Just git.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why she's dressed like Raven, though. That probably was my biggest issue.
It is interesting, especially because, like, a lot of other people, but, you know, we haven't seen her since she was Raquel Diaz in NXT. And so it's such kind of especially with this aesthetic, it's so different from that kind of persona that it's a little bit jarring.
I think her facials are down packed. She has great presence. Obviously, she knows how to like work the microphone if she's the ring announcer, and everything she said caught my attention. Beautiful Three Amigos. And then what is that? Would that be like, it wouldn't be her uncle because Chavo and him were cousins, right? But she probably considered. Because, like, Eddie and Chavo were cousins, right? So then...
No, Eddie was Chavo's uncle.
Yeah.
Eddie was Chavo's uncle. So then Chavo would be what to her? Her great uncle?
Wait.
Her great cousin?
Like, cousin once removed?
Whatever this family tree is.
Yeah.
He hits a great frog splash and they send Famous B out packing. But
yeah, I dug it.
Definitely one of my favorite segments. And then she's like, yeah, I'm your new ring announcer. Your next match is the Mac versus Mil Muertes in a death match. Have fun, y'all.
I love that we get branded caskets full of weapons in this match.
Dude, and those weapons. Well, first off, at some point, Mil rolls the first funeral box. Thank you. He rolls it out. It's on wheels. The second one that he gets, he grabs one arm and just drags it like it's no big deal. Beast mode. That guy is a monster. And then, yeah, when they open it and they show you the weapons that are inside, you have your typical like, oh, there's a kendo stick. But there's also a brick, an axe, a hatchet, a ball peen hammer, a wrench, a chain. It was like playing a game of Clue. We were missing the candlestick. That was it.
Yeah, the fact that they're just wildly swinging axes at each other's head.
Yeah, oh, that was a little bit stressful for me. Like, I don't think I'm that coordinated where I would trust myself to be in that situation. Obviously, they're much more coordinated than me, but still, it's like, oh, don't swing an axe. Holy shit.
All I kept thinking of was, remember when the Berserker fought the Undertaker way back when? And he jumped in the air and he tried to stab him with a sword and it went through the ring? I was just hoping that someone was going to swing that axe and it was just going to stick into the ring. Or when they broke out the trash can, I was like, oh, he's going to stab it into the trash can. And
yeah, then, something like that.
Like, those had to be movie props, right? Because there's no way you're swinging a real axe in the wrestling ring.
Exactly. And, like, God forbid, like, the head is loose and flies off into the crowd or
Accidents have happened. Like, John Morrison and Drew McIntyre on SmackDown – Morrison had a real sword and smacked himself in the face, and it busted him open. They had to like edit around the blood. So
I
like,
did not know that.
Yeah, things like this happen with. Oh, I was just so worried in this entire situation. Did you notice the fan in the crowd dressed like Prince Puma?
No,
he had the full-on Prince Puma mask and the Lucha Underground hoodie. So he looked like when Puma has done run-ins before. I was just waiting for something like that to happen. I loved Willie Mack goes for a kick and Mill catches it and just pulls him in and nails him with a clothesline. Just drives him right down.
Simple stuff. I love that like Mill is such just like a straightforward bruiser. Like he doesn't, you know, like we get a lot of flashy stuff from Willie. We get his inverted cannonball. We get a spin kick. But like Mill will just throw himself at you until you're dead.
I didn't like that Willie got busted open and you couldn't really tell. Like, you could tell because you could see the trickling of the blood, and it looked like – like, I don't know if they've done this in other seasons where they, like, highlighted a color in post so it looks like a brighter color.
Sure.
But, like, note to Willie, if you're ever going to bleed in a match, wear white trunks. Because
yeah, you got
to
wear your
– you got to wear white, man, because then it'll pick up. He hits a beautiful coast-to-coast dropkick, trash can to the face of Mill, lots of – just lots of crazy moves in this entire match. There was a slip on his Samoan drop to moonsault, but he covered it up well. It looked like it could have been.
That looked wild. That looked like it could have been bad. Emily, what did this match do for you?
I liked some of it, and then some of it, I don't know, just kind of regular deathmatch stuff where it's kind of slow because they're getting weapons. And I don't enjoy that type of match as much as some other people just because of the that element of it. But like, I love both these guys. This is like a great matchup and I enjoyed, especially the end. Just, I laughed super hard when he hit him with the brick like that.
Oh my gosh.
That was incredible.
I just thought of Friday instantly. I just thought of Friday and Debo gets hit in the face with a brick. That's all I could think of was just like Willie just chucking a brick at this guy. And that was after he took a hellacious flatliner spiked right on his head.
That was really scary. That looked just directly onto the neck. Like
the way
neck
that he drills himself on that move is
uncanny. And then after it took two stunners, a brick, and then another stunner, Willie gets the win. Mill's first loss at Ultimo Lucha. Which is crazy. And then a missed opportunity because they're starting to throw Willie beers and Willie's cracking beers. And Stryker calls it a MacWiser instead of calling it a MacDello, which is a huge missed opportunity for that for your sponsors, too. I'm sure Modelo is not happy about you calling it a MacWiser.
They could have put him in a commercial.
Yeah.
That would have been the greatest.
Well, did you notice? So, like, during the commercials, they always have the Antonio Cueto with whatever random luchador, and he's like having a Modelo, and he's like, everything's better with a cold one, and it's a Modelo. But they had cut the Phoenix match into this commercial, so he's like, Phoenix has beaten Azteca Jr., and we'll move forward. You know, everyone needs a cold one. And like, it was like, man, that match just happened. Like, this is good to insert that in post. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Way to be on top of things. Next match is the sacrifice to the gods, Mundo versus Matanza. What did you think of this new Matanza gear?
Well, so, oh my God, I was crazy about this gear, for one. It reminded me, let me preface this by saying, I was one of the only people I feel that liked the Suicide Squad movie that came out.
I still haven't seen it. But I still have not seen it.
The way the gear that Matanza came out with looked a lot like kind of the main antagonist of that movie.
Oh my gosh. Like the what the heck is that model's name?
Cara Delevingne.
Yeah. Like her headdress thing?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I didn't think of that. Now that gear is
now that's all
for me.
You're going to see. That's all you're going to see now.
Oh man.
But no, I loved it. And it was like a sort of similar note to the Shaw thing. Like, why would you wait all this time to debut this, like, sweet new look? But that being said, like, I was crazy about this match because physically and logistically, you don't really ever have a reason for Matanza to sort of be on the defense. You know, everyone in the temple, he's, you know, either bigger or stronger than, so he's always the aggressor. But now we've got this like mystical MacGuffin that like allows Johnny Mundo to sort of be the powerhouse in the match. And I think that's so interesting and so creative.
Well, I thought his gear was awesome. It reminded me of Papa Shango.
Yes.
Mixed with Shao Kahn. Definitely Shao Kahn style mask. For sure.
I was terrified of Papa Shango as a kid.
Really? Especially when he made the Undertaker bleed Hershey syrup. That was the craziest by far.
When he made like, the Ultimate Warrior throw up all over the place. Gross.
Oh, man. What? Oh, where? I lost where I was in my notes. I'm sorry. Oh, the gauntlet. So yeah, Mundo is fully embracing this gauntlet and even more arrogant that he has all this power. And yeah, the Raiden eyes and the electricity, he feels it.
When he has this power, he just becomes such like a dork jock bully.
And at one point, Matanza gets it away from him and hucks it. And it doesn't like the first throw and it lands on the stairs of the temple. And I was just wondering, like, if they had security there to make sure fans weren't trying to take it. Because, you know, when flies into the crowd, fans are like, this is ours now, you know? But they're like, no, we need that for a later part in the match. Like, stand there and make sure no fan touches that thing.
Yeah, probably.
Mundo, oh, man. It was such – Matanza definitely hitting all these awesome pop-up moves. He hits, like, the dope pop-up. Not German, but like side slam. And then he does this crazy overhead German suplex to Mundo from the top. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Even hits a regal plex at one point, which they're like, oh, he even pops his hips on that and goes for a bridge. It's like, yeah, this guy's amazing. And then he gets, I think they're trying to get the gauntlet back and Matanza just hucks it to the top of the temple. It's like, and that's where you're going to stay.
Once again, such a bully thing to do.
What were your thoughts on that?
I thought it was pretty great. I loved this match the whole time. But then there was, oh my gosh, the part where I think after the, oh, I loved Johnny trying to go up and get the gauntlet.
Like
and
the then parkour
just,
jump?
Yeah, and then just completely failing at parkour and just getting destroyed by Matanza. That made me laugh. I enjoyed that.
I thought it was so funny because we've seen him do so much crazy parkour stuff in the temple that was just like, what do you mean you're not going to land there? Like, come on, dude. Yeah. Like, we've seen you jump twice as far as that. But it was cool how Matanza just grabbed him, put him on his shoulders, and threw him into the wall. It would have been even better if they would have Looney Tunes that shit and he would have, like, left a perfect outline cut in the wall.
A Johnny Mundo sized hole in the wall.
Oh, man. Because then that leads to, when they're fighting on top and he throws him through the freezer.
So, like, and he just disappears. He doesn't even really slam him through the roof as much as he just kind of shoves him through the roof.
Yeah. Very Hulk Hogan giant. On top of the roof with the monster trucks, you know, like
just pushed him.
He just pushed him, and then they hit the music, so you think like, oh, he's won. He climbs down and he's starting to go, and then the doors open. We see the smoke, and out comes, you know, Johnny Mundo. Now he's got.
I feel like everyone knew, like, the second that happened, what was going to go down. I thought the doors were going to like explode.
Yeah.
Like, I thought the door was gonna go like, flying down.
Like he like punches them open and
yeah.
That would have been so good.
It was so dumb, but in such a fun way. Do you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, it was awesome. But it was like the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but I loved it.
It's so stupid.
And then he's got Matanza on the run. Matanza's scared because now the glove, the juice is loose and the power is there.
Juice is loose. But I love that, like, all of a sudden he has a reason for his offense to all be entirely punch based.
Yeah.
Like he was working with the gauntlet the way that I feel like the Big Show should always be working. Like, if your finisher is a punch, just always be punching.
Yeah. That's a great idea. I never even thought of that. Yeah, he's like, the first man to kick out of the wrath of the gods.
Yeah, yes, that was crazy. Yeah.
I don't even know. Did he lift the shoulder with the gauntlet? Because that would have been the smart thing.
Like, oh, if interesting. That, I didn't even think about
if
that.
That's the arm that kicks out, because like that arm has all the power.
I was just so blown away by the catch, like the Superman punch catch into the Wrath of the Gods.
Oh, yeah.
Was such a cool, like, sequence.
And this match had a lot of great Foley with all those Superman punches with the gauntlet on. It was definitely good. They should have did a couple, like, dingers where, like, he'd punch the mask and it'd be like, bing, bing, bong, like, for the last one. That would have been great. I loved everyone chanting, "This is Slamtown," instead of "This is awesome."
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I like that Slamtown is, like, confirmed to be a real place.
Yeah.
Now, and it's like he for real, like, rules over as his day job or something. Yeah, great. Yeah,
he's like,
great.
I'm the mayor of Slamtown.
Yeah.
This, yeah.
And he is. He's the mayor. I'm assuming they
it's located
him.
Next to Parts Unknown.
Yeah.
Slamtown.
Parts Unknown adjacent.
Parts
I feel like
unknown
it's like
adjacent.
The last, like, rest stop before Parts Unknown, and it's like the Johnny Mundo town. Like, oh, you're going to Parts Unknown? Like, what are you?
That'd
you
be great. Like, a giant wrestling map of just, like, all the places that people hail from.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I would love that. Absolutely.
So Mundo wins with a Superman punch with the gauntlet. That means Matanza gets sacrificed to the gods. And did you notice that at the end of this match, Antonio Cueto is about to walk into the freezer? Did anybody else notice that?
No, I didn't notice.
Like, he's, like, standing at the top of the steps and Mundo is posing, and you could see him in the background, and the doors open, and he goes to walk into the freezer. I don't know if we were supposed to see that or if he was just in the wrong spot, but I thought that was really interesting.
This is like
where
a rich...
I keep my cold Modelo.
I need a Modelo.
He's doing, like, cryogenics because he's, like, a rich old man. And so he does, like, weird... I'm guessing, like, weird beauty things. Like, it's all cryogenics and, like, blood transfusions.
Oh, to stay
and then
young?
Nothing else. Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's, like, 200 years old. And this is how he stays alive.
Cryotherapy, yeah.
And then we get this video where Aerostar is talking to Johnny. And he's like, hey, man, now that you use the gauntlet to defeat Matanza, kind of need it back. Johnny's like, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to give it back to you. And he feels the electricity. You see it in his eyes. And he's like, man, that thing's taking you over. Like, you don't control it. It'll control you. And then, surprisingly enough, Johnny's like, okay, man, here, you can have it back.
Yeah. Like, that was easy.
That was easy? Yeah. What did you think of that, Ty?
I mean, I'm all for subverting tropes. I would have liked to see more of a... I don't know. We didn't get much of, like, why he kind of saw the light, you know? Like, this whole time he's been sort of this, like, goober bully. So, like, of course he would want to. But, like, why is it now that Aerostar, like, just all of a sudden, got through to him?
Maybe he knows he can go back in time and, like, change everything about him. So he's like, I might as well not piss this guy off. Because maybe he could butterfly effect me and then I'm a nerd and I'm not the cool jock. You never know. Things could happen. Maybe he doesn't meet his beautiful wife. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe the tables turn and Ricky Mundo is in Johnny Mundo's spot, and Johnny Mundo is where Ricky Mundo should be.
It's like the nerd obsessed with the doll.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Whew.
I want to see a Freaky Friday Lucha Underground episode.
Oh, I always loved what was the one with Kirk Cameron? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where, like, him and his dad do the same thing? Oh, I'll have to tweet you about that. It was a classic one. And then we get our main event of Ultimo Lucha, which is Pentagon Dark versus Marty the Moth for the Lucha Underground title in a Zero Mero match, which means, like anything else, anything goes. People are going to...
I love... And that's a good point. I love how many different... Like, they're becoming... on the level of WWE with how many different ways they can just say anything go.
Yeah. That's why I always loved ECW matches. You knew, like, their laxed rules. And then that, like, if there was a specific thing for a match, they told you. But then it became like, oh, this is extreme rules matches and everything can go. And now, like you said, yeah, we just need to figure out a different name for this, even though it's the same as four other matches.
Yeah, and just, yeah, make the stipulations just a little bit different.
Making the stips. You love the stips.
Love me a good stip.
Love me a good stip. You know what else? What about an Irish whip?
Irish stip.
Irish stip. Because Marty just gets whipped into those chairs. And these chairs in the temple suck. These wood chairs, they can't feel good at all.
No.
Zero fun.
So much into the chairs. Marty hits a hip toss into a table, which is like perfectly foreshadowed and like bookended with that super hip toss that he gets hit with later on in the match.
Oh man, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
genius. Right? Storytelling, y'all.
Storytelling. And then we get of course our favorite weapon, the fork, made its triumphant return.
Oh, dude. Can I just say, like, Marty's blood in this match made me really uncomfortable at how much he was bleeding and how he's just, like, wiping it out of his eyes with his t-shirt. Gross.
It was so early on, too.
Yeah!
I realized, like, oh, wow, he's just gonna be covered in that much blood for this whole time! Yikes.
And then you always hear, like, oh, in a wrestling show, you gotta build. You don't want your first match to take away from your main event, and you gotta build. So, like, on the show, and God only knows how this was taped, because they tape out of order sometimes.
Right,
but to think people there sat through how many matches that were just like blood, guts, violence kind of stuff. And then even in the ring, like then you have to wrestle. So now whoever is wrestling in Willie's blood and Marty's blood.
Yep.
Essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yuck.
Yeah. Forks to the head, the jumping destroyer on the floor, the announce table. What the hell? Into the pile of chairs, Marty through the glass, Marty with the gas can, he's going to set him on fire, pump kick, knocks the Zippo out of his hand, and then what we think is like the finish of the match and what we think is the end. Pentagon sets up six chairs, does the three up, three down package pile driver, and gets the win. New champion, second time champion. But oh no, this isn't the end. Yeah, nope. Ty. What happens next?
the savage.
The savage. Mr. Jake Strong, the straw man, as I would prefer he had been.
I had completely forgotten that he even had the Gift of the Gods title.
What does that tell you about his reign in this season?
I know. Yeah.
I was so just let down. They could have done so much more with him just by changing his look and giving him a new name and a new character and not like, hey, you're basically the same guy, but you have like gold shiny gear now instead of like American Chevron style gear.
Yeah, right.
You know, have fun. And we're going to give you a manager that you're going to break his ankle, even though he's like the most over guy in this whole season.
Right.
Anyway. He cashes in his Gift of the Gods. Here's the last of the ultimate Foley we got in this episode was him breaking Pentagon's ankle and the just like the song. Celery cracks. Have you ever, did you watch like Monday Night Raw when it was on USA back in the day, like silk stockings would be on after it kind of thing?
No, I don't remember what was on after it. I would always see it, like, taped.
There was just, like, a commercial that was like, this is what a Foley artist is. And it explained to you what Foley was. And they showed, like, guys breaking necks and he was just, like, snapping celery.
Wow.
And, like, anytime, like, I just always think.
Dude, so, I don't remember this.
Dude, I'll never forget it. And it was, like, the dude hitting the boards and, like, making the noise for, like, walking feet and, everything. But, Breaking Bones was always snapping celery. So whenever I see, like, him just ranking on the ankle and you hear the crunch, I'm just like, oh, someone in the back is just like, like, we need peanut butter for all the celery we're just wasting.
We got to get some ants on a log up in here.
Oh, you know? Just like Mom used to make.
That's like the after party food at Lucha Underground.
Ultima Lucha. It's bagel bites and ants on
a log. Bagel bites, Modelo's, and just celery.
Yeah.
So then Vampiro climbs in the ring to scare away Reclusa because Pentagon's about to break Marty's arm. And Reclusa comes out to be like, nah, hell no. That ain't going to happen. And then Vampiro's like, nah, hell no. You ain't 2-on-1 in my homie. And then Vampiro's like, joke's on you. I'll hand you the title but then kick you in the balls. Pentagon's like, joke's on you. I'll kick you back in the balls. And then the two of them start going at it.
I laughed so hard when Pentagon just kicked him right back.
You know?
Like, you never see that.
Like, what a no-sell. Like, screw Austin Aries no-selling Johnny Impact at the end of that pay-per-view. Like, this is the ultimate no-sell. You just chuck a boot to the nuts.
Well, to be fair, like, when you get hit in the nuts, like, it, there's a delay to that. Like, it's not instant pain. Like,
right before the stomach ache? Yeah. Oh.
But yeah, so then we get the appearance of this sort of this new master.
Yeah, who's just like, oh, what if there was like a less scary Pentagon who looks like a child? Like, he's like, this is my new master. It's like, this kid like works at a vape store. Like, Vampiro, what are you doing with your life? Vampiro needs to get it together.
I saw this dude come out. And I'm like, oh, now that's a Shao Kahn mask. And then he turns and he goes to take it off. And then I think he realized he wasn't at the right camera. So then he turns again. Oh. And then he takes it off to reveal, like, a not as cool mask.
Yeah.
Another mask.
And his two, like, snake bite lip rings with his black lipstick. Yeah. And I'm just looking at him and I'm like, wow, Eli Everfly looks jacked. Because that's who I thought it was. I don't know who it is.
It's not Eli Everfly.
No, it's definitely not Eli Everfly.
Yeah, I don't know who it is either.
When he took off the mask to reveal another mask, just like, this is the literal definition of putting a hat on a hat. Like, it's the actual literal definition.
It would have been even better if he would have, like, taken off that mask and he had, like, a Zorro mask and then, like, taken off that mask and it would have just been, like, a stocking cap. Or, like, it just keeps getting crazier. Like, it's even, like, La Parca's mask.
Yeah.
Like, just more ridiculous lucha mask, like Blue Demon.
Russian nesting mask.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that'd be great. We need to make one of those.
Oh, maybe it's, Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying TM.
Oh.
And then he throws him out of the ring. He hits a shooting star off, like, the second level.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know. Throws him back in the ring and hits another shooting star. And is like, oh.
Second one, he hit, like, a red arrow.
Yeah, but I just don't know why you wouldn't just do the one in the ring, I guess is what I'm getting at. Like, why throw him out to then throw him back in? And people were like, oh. Like, that was cool. We didn't just see a bunch of crazy shit today. You know,
right? I'm intrigued in as much as I'm always sort of intrigued when like a new challenger appears. Like that's always been like my favorite thing is just like new people debuting, even if like it doesn't quite work as well as it should have.
Mm.
But we'll see.
But the end of this with the whole ending video segment next to the Famous B segment, definitely like the highlights of Ultimo Lucha.
Okay, So much happens. So yeah, after that is when Jake Strong cashes in,
breaks the ankle, gets the title, new champion,
new champ, and then so much happens.
So King Cuerno, Dragon Azteca, and Aerostar decide to give the gauntlet to her. We don't know who her is yet.
Yeah, so originally, yeah, they're saying, like, you know, it's too powerful, it has to go back into hiding, but Dragon Azteca wants to strike now, because, you know, the gods are weakened, I guess, and he says that she'll make it quick. And at first, I thought I misheard that line, because I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
I was wondering the same thing, too, and then we see Dark Lotus with the gauntlet telling Matanza, you're the one that killed my family, not Dragon Azteca, so now I'm gonna kill you. And does classic Dust Till Dawn heart grab, which I watched today. When was the last time you watched Dust Till Dawn?
Like a couple years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a feeling that Dust Till Dawn and Lucha Underground fully tie in together.
Oh, probably.
Just because at the end of Dust Till Dawn, when it pans out, it's the big Mayan temple.
Yeah.
And then Robert Rodriguez and all this, so I have a feeling that they all tie in somehow.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, like, Robert Rodriguez knows, and he has it, like, in a chart somewhere.
Oh, man. So
the way that I've always described Lucha Underground to people is if a wrestling show existed in the From Dusk Till Dawn universe. Like, that's really all it is.
Oh, man. We need some vampires. Gangrel would be dope.
Yeah.
Oh my god. The brood in the temple? Oh my god.
You know what? With PCO killing it on the indies right now, imagine the crazy vignettes they could shoot in Lucha Underground with him as like he's not human.
Yes, he should.
And
just
him
come.
And Destro with the get the cables and the battery.
That's a great idea.
I've gotta say I was so disappointed with how quickly they killed Matanza in this scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he got no heart, like, bro.
But it happened so fast, and he's been like the all-powerful god of the temple for so long.
You know what?
I feel like we needed something a little bit more like gruesome or I don't know.
Yeah, this was like a bad episode, like one episode downfall for Matanza, just like the worst day of his life, and then it's over.
He just had just one shitty day.
Yeah, it's that sucks a lot for Matanza. I feel kind of bad for him. I don't know if you're supposed to like feel bad for Matanza getting killed, but just it was like, oh man, I feel like maybe he could have come back the next day and he would have done better.
Started fresh
at just his monster life, because you know he was also like possessed. It was revealed, so yeah. Maybe he could have been unpossessed and then just come back and been Jeff Cobb. Anyway, that's my fantasy booking season 5, which is like that Matanza actually, they just killed the possessed part and it comes back and it's like Jeff Cobb is here now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They just cut off his hand like Ash style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like Idle Hands.
Yeah.
Oh man. What if they would have done something like, so you don't know if he's dead or not? Like, his mask is still there, and you see, like, his hand grab it. Or, like,
oh, sure.
Like something, like, his heart is still beating in her hand. Or, like, something weird to where you're just, like cliffhanger. Because they ended on a great cliffhanger, which we'll get to. So, after she rips out his heart, isn't that when Jake Strong shows up, takes the gauntlet?
Yes. So Dragonus Tekka shows up, and, they say, oh, your parents can be at peace and your master can be at peace and blah, blah, blah. And Jake Strong out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Suddenly Jake Strong.
Yeah.
It's suddenly Jake Strong is just like the weirdest thing that's been happening on Lucha Underground, because it's like, oh, suddenly this guy, but it's like, suddenly it's the most boring guy. It's like a regular guy is here now. It's like, get excited. But it's like the opposite. It's like, oh, it's Jake Strong. Cool. Like, I wish it would have been anyone else.
I just think, like, if you had, like, a bin of toys to play with, and you picked out, like, the genericest, most plain one, and you're just like, yeah, I want to play with this guy.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Like, and he had so much potential, because coming in from, like, people know about you, but you've been off TV for a long time, you could totally be repackaged as something else, especially there. Yeah. Look at all the people that they've done different things with.
Yeah.
And, like, Lucha Underground made Pentagon a star. Like, he, like, they're the reason he's getting booked and Phoenix are getting booked all over the world and have become, like, household names. So, I don't know. I just wanted so much more with him. Taya with black doll eyes, holy shit, made me think of Jaws. And that scene in Jaws when the guy's, like, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. Like, that's all I could think of when she was standing there. And then, yeah, she's got crazy strength. I love the grab you by the throat, lift you off your feet, and then they even switch the camera angles so you could see her, like, lifting him up in the perspective.
Yeah.
That was so good.
I love it.
Now
she's a host.
Yeah. And then we get in the car. Make 7 up yours. Godfrey says, all the gods are in human form right now.
I had been wondering this entire season. I had brought it up multiple times over the season where, like, the order was and where this whole story was and all that stuff. And it looks like, yes, slowly, like, one by one, all of the gods are finding different hosts. So, like, Taya's a host, and then this new master, I guess, is a host, and Jake Strong is a host, and, like, all these different people have gods inhabiting them.
And I wonder what's going to happen in season 5, because then the Lord is Bad News Barrett.
Let me tell you right now, I lost my goddamn mind.
So yeah, did Emily.
Same. I was like yelling like out loud in the studio. Okay. It's like, what?
She was about to get us shushed.
Yeah. It was totally involuntary.
I loved it so much. I don't know, Emily, just to clarify, were these like positive reactions?
They were just like, yeah, I think they were positive just because it was like, it's literally Bad News Barrett. It is like, I am the WWE character Bad News Barrett. Like,
that's just
the last thing I would have expected to happen.
He even said that. He said, got some bad news.
He's literally Bad News Barrett. He just came over to Lucha Underground World somehow.
That is a hilarious point that I somehow didn't even think about. The fact that he might as well be called WWE's Bad News Barrett.
Yeah.
Oh, if he has the gavel.
Oh my God. He's going to have the gavel. If they're giving him the catchphrase, he's going to have the gavel.
You know, I just wish, I don't think that they can fit, like, the cherry picker, like, scissor lift inside a temple, so I don't know.
He could get up on, like, that forklift thing that Aerostar did the moonsault off of.
Yeah, exactly. So, this whole story, I had been missing it, primarily because I had been missing Godfrey, because I'm a big, big Godfrey fan. Make Seven Up Yours. But I like that it's coming together. I would have never thought that it was Bad News Barrett in a bajillion years.
Me either, man. I thought it would be an actor. I'm serious. I didn't think it would be a wrestler. I thought it would be another actor, like a...
Another like Lorenzo.
I honestly thought it'd be... Tiny Lester Debo, because I thought he would fit great, and he has past wrestling experience, so it kind of like all ties in, and he looks menacing.
Oh my God, if they were able, like, they probably aren't legally, but if they were able to write Zeus into the Lucha Underground mythology,
you know, and then bring out like the whole no holds barred kind of feel, like, oh man, yeah. Even tie it back, like, this man was caged above a bar fight and then came down.
Yes.
Yeah, you know that someone would shit their pants in a backstage fight if they're going the whole no-holds-barred route.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been so good. Missed opportunity, but anything could happen. But the real big, like, send-off is Aerostar brings Dario Cueto back to life with the medallion, and he wakes up, and now he has white eyes just like his dad. Did you notice that?
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
So maybe his dad has been brought back in the same fashion.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the about to drop the F-bomb, and it says to be continued. So
which like, that would have been a more powerful ending if we hadn't already gotten like 4 F-bombs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, from like Melissa and countless other people that are just throwing them out, you know, like, yeah.
Like, all right, we get it, you guys can swear.
Yeah, anyway, I hope they come back for a season 5. Because I hear it's still, like, up in the air, and they don't know.
It's still up in the air. Eric Van Wagenen just did an interview recently with a podcast. I'm so sorry. I can't remember the name of the podcast. But I know he said that, you know, it's not really a for sure thing right now. He said that no one's really in a huge hurry. And we know that they're, you know, seasons 1 and 2 aren't on Netflix anymore. So it's kind of anyone's guess.
Well, I know from talking to other wrestlers that contracts have been up to a season 7. Like Joey Ryan signed on till season 7. Brian Cage signed on till season 7. So hopefully we'll get 3 more seasons out of this show.
Hopefully,
but it's all up in the air and we don't know. But I really enjoyed this season. I think Famous B definitely stole it. I like seeing all the new faces in the temple. I don't really know if I like the Ice House as much as I liked the warehouse.
You know the Ice House doesn't exist anymore, right?
Oh, like it's gone?
It got torn down like very shortly after the season was taped.
Oh, sure.
So either way, if there is a season 5, it'll be somewhere new.
Yeah.
or the original temple, who knows?
Wherever the Aztec seal is, that's where the temple is, right?
You see, home is where the Aztec seal is.
That's what I always say.
That's what I always say.
To my front door.
Well, that's our show, and that's our season. Thank you, believers, for staying in and hanging out with us all these weeks. I wish I would have been here for all of them, but I couldn't. Ty, tell us where they could find you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much for watching and tuning in. And thank you, Jimbo, and thank you, Emily. You guys have been amazing, and I'm so happy to have gotten to talk this ridiculous show with you guys. For viewers and for believers, you guys can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. That's Twitter. That's Instagram. I don't really have any shows coming up. The Purge ended last night. This ended tonight. And so I'm sort of on like an unofficial hiatus, I guess. But you guys can follow me there. You can find me on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood Saturdays at 4 p.m. Check your local listings. And that's it. Thank you, guys. Where can they find you guys?
Emily?
Yeah, I'm Emily. You can find me on Twitter at Emily of Pratt. And mostly I write for uprocks.com/pro-wrestling, which is also with spandex.com. My main thing is New Japan, but I write about other things too. And do other wrestling-related projects that I talk about on Twitter. Yeah.
Awesome. You can find me on Twitter at Jimbo DeBooth. Check out XPOC12360 and subscribe to youtube.com/XPOC. That's it for Lucha Underground and AfterBuzz TV. Until next season, viva la lucha!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.